Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Mantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Yadiraj Maharaj ki, Go Premanande. Okay. So, tonight we'll begin chapter 17 of Canto 10. And we'll go from verses 1 to 21 of the chapter. What is the chapter called?
Lord Krishna's Daily Activities.
Lord Krishna's Daily Activities. Very good. Rajesh, why are you late? Krishna, please get your life together. Okay. So, text number one, and we'll continue through. Shukadev Goswami said, as dawn approached, the wives of Lord Madhava, each embraced around the neck by her husband, cursed the crowing roosters. The ladies were disturbed that now they would be separated from him. Mitesh, you want to give it?
Shukadev Goswami. Okay. This description of Lord Krishna's daily activities starts with the crowing of the rooster. Lord Krishna's wives knew that the Lord would dutifully get up and perform his prescribed morning ritual, and thus they were agitated at their coming separation from him and cursed the roosters.
Any points? Yeah, so Krishna dutifully got up in the morning. So we have duties to perform. As long as you're in this material world, you have duties. You cannot be neglectful of your duties. Even in the material world, we have duties. And actually, Rupa Goswami says that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Nectar of Devotion. The first 10 verses, not the first 10 verses, but the first 10 items of devotion. He gives 64 items of bhakti, which are anukul, favorable, to our devotional service. So the first 10 are considered the most important. And with the first 10, then please come and please be on time this year. It's a new year, new beginning, on time, please. Always sorry, but please be on time. The whole universe is sorry, but no one's on time. Nice shirt, but still please be on time.
I like the pen.
My pants are even better. But please be on time. Okay. So, the first 10 items of bhakti, given of the 64 items of bhakti by Rupa Goswami, the first 10 are the most important. They're called bhakti dwara, which means the gateway to bhakti, to devotion. And it's interesting because one of the 10 items is that one must not be neglectful of worldly duties. So you cannot be neglectful. If you're neglectful, it's actually against the principles of devotional service. So materially, we have responsibilities. And you have to fulfill your responsibilities properly. You two are very late. That's not very good. You're not going to make this a habit this year, are you, Priya? Are you going to be on time this year or not? Yeah, no lateness this year. On time. Radhika, you should be on time. Okay. So, we have duties. One must not be neglectful. Yad yad, acharati. Krishna says, if I do not do it, everyone else will stop doing it. So Krishna also does it. He gets up in the morning and he performs his duties. He has duties to do. So that means we also have to be responsible. Have to do all of the duties that need to be done. Now, Prabhupada makes a point that when you get to the platform of Ruchi, which is the fifth level of devotion, what's the first level? Shraddha. Your faith. Then? Sadhu Sangha. Then? Vajana Kriya. Then? Anathinya Kriya. Then? Nishtha. And then? Ruchi. So Ruchi is the sixth. And 7, 8, 9. Sakti Bhava Prem. So it's the sixth. So Srila Prabhupada says that when you get to the platform of Ruchi, it doesn't become duty anymore. Because you have taste. So it's not duty anymore. You have taste. Like Prabhupada gives the example. You have to go for Mangalati. Out of duty. So you'll do Mangalati, and you know, many of you have deities in your homes, so you'll do deity worship and like that. But that we're doing it somewhat out of duty. But Prabhupada says that when you get to the platform of Ruchi, it's not duty, but it's taste. You want to do it. You can't wait to see Krishna in the morning. You're enthusiastic about that. So we may be a mixture in between the two, enthusiasm and duty. But either way, Krishna is teaching us that we have to perform things out of duty. We have to do it. Krishna is showing the example. Krishna says, if I do not do it, then no one else will do it. Neophytes have to do it. They have to follow rules and regulations. Advanced devotees don't have to follow rules and regulations because their taste is already there. You know, there's that nice verse in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the purport, and Prabhupada quotes Madhavendra Puri. You know that verse? It's in chapter 2. Maybe around about verse 20 or so, around about there. And then Prabhupada quotes. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhavendra Puri. And he says, to hell with my chanting of Gayatri. To hell with my following the rules and regulations. An advanced devotee can say these things because he doesn't have to follow those things. Not sorry, be on time. I'm doing service too, but I still come on time. Okay, come. So, just don't make it regular. If people start doing it regularly, there will be reactions. I don't know what they are yet, but there will be reactions. Well, think of something. Just like my daughter, Asisha Shakti. So now she's 14. So she got a phone. Now she's in high school, so it's part of the paraphernalia. You must have a phone. A devotee, your paraphernalia is japa mala. So now you're a teenager, you must have a phone. Right. So yeah, she got the phone. So the other day I had to punish her, so I took away the phone for 24 hours. The only thing that can get through to people. Punishment's the only thing that gets through, unfortunately. So if you keep coming in late for class, then we will do something. We'll take your phone for 24 hours. Or I'll take it with me, I'll go down to the farm and I'll give it back in a week's time. How would you like that? Yeah, not very much. I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking anyway. So, Krishna is performing duty. But then Prabhupada points out that if you have ruchi, or taste, then you do not need to follow rules and regulations. But that's an advanced level. It's not a level that we're on. We're not on the level of neglecting. So for neophytes, they have to follow rules and regulations. And that's why Krishna is setting the example. Because Krishna says, if I do not do it, then other people will stop doing it also. So we must follow the rules, we must follow the regulations. And when you get to the platform of Ruchi, then you know, maybe you don't have to follow everything. You still serve Krishna out of taste. Maybe some advanced devotee won't chant his Gayatri. Madhavendra Puri says, to hell with my Gayatris. Maybe he doesn't have to chant Gayatri. on our level, we have to follow the rules and regulations. When you're advanced, whatever you do, it's a different thing. Or, he says bathing three times. Maybe advanced devotee doesn't take bath. He's so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But we must do it. That's the point. You must follow. Any points so far?
Shastra Thakur points to the word Pati Bhir here. In Sanskrit. And he says that Pati Bhir indicates that if Lord Krishna had expanded with the Hari Queen, so Hari Queen was addressing him, not the Hari Queen. So it's plural that he indicates.
Yeah, he's with, in this chapter it says Rukmini, but everyone simultaneously. 16,108.
Also, it is an interesting observation here that while the roosters are trying to wake Krishna, the queens are cursing the roosters. Pretty much like the gopis are cursing Balarama for giving ideas. So, the service, sometimes there can be conflicts in serving the Lord. But everything is there when the Lord is in the center and not our own false egos. Two people are serving, trying to serve the Lord in their own way. One cannot be separated from the Lord, so the queens. And one wants to serve the Lord to wake him up. So it is mentioned that all the roosters, birds, bees, everyone is trying to give a very warm welcome to the Lord for the day.
Conflicts are there. Yeah. Just like if you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Sunday we have the Ratha Yatra ceremony. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're having Ratha Yatra. And there were two devotees in the crowd, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing in the middle. There was Srivas Thakur, and who was the other one? Srivas and someone else. And two advanced devotees. Two pure devotees. And then one devotee was trying to, because they're trying to see Lord Chaitanya, he tried to move that devotee. So I think it was Srivas. He turned around and hit him. Bang! Like that, because he's trying to move him, so he could see Lord Chaitanya. But then he was moving him so he couldn't see Lord Chaitanya. So he hit him. So sometimes there's some conflict. Devotees are both trying to serve the Lord and then there's some conflict. These are very advanced devotees, so on Sunday you're not allowed to hit any of your. Don't hit the other devotees. But sometimes there's like conflict between the devotees in the service of Krishna. Okay. The bees buzzing caused by the fragrant breeze from the Parijata garden roused the birds from sleep. And when the birds began to sing loudly, they woke Lord Krishna like court poets reciting his glories. So in the spiritual world, everyone serves Krishna. When we go back to Godhead, if we become qualified to go back and serve Krishna, generally devotees have a human-like form. When we talk about serving in Vrindavan, we talk about Madhurya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Sakya Ras. So it's a human-like form. It's rare that someone will go back and get like a bee's body or something. Not impossible, but generally we go into the human-like forms. But in the spiritual world, every form serves Krishna purely. Everyone is a devotee. So the bees, the birds, even the plants. Dhruva, what is your problem?
Sorry?
Always late. What's the problem? We're not going to do this.
I was coming early.
Yeah, okay. So maybe devotees do a collection and see if you can buy him a watch or something like that, so he knows what time it is, so he can come on time. Come on time, Drew. So all of the living entities have consciousness. They're all devotees. Right? So even the plants, it says in Vrindavan, they are devotees. The cows. All of the living in the parrots, the monkeys, many of them are mentioned. Even Krishna has some pet dogs in the spiritual world. All these things are mentioned. So everyone has consciousness. But generally, we are aiming to get a human-like form. to serve Krishna. Lying in her beloved's arms, Queen Vaidarbhi did not like this most auspicious hour, for it meant she would lose his embrace.
Sri Ashwita Swami explains that the reaction of Vaidarbhi Rukmani Devi shows the attitude of all the queens.
So, any points?
It's interesting here that Srila Prabhupada gave us a money program to wake up the deities. So, in the realm of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we see that welcoming the deities is meeting Krishna. Whereas, from the queen's point of view, that same hour is separation from Krishna. And if you think of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Shunyaitam, Jagat Sarvam, Govindarayana. So, for them, only those times are auspicious really. In their spontaneity, where there is union with Krishna. So when there is separation from Krishna, even one moment seems like many, many years to them. So they don't care about material auspiciousness or inauspiciousness as far as Kala is concerned. For them, there is only one thing, is Krishna with us. So they are showing that very advanced move.
Good. Any other points?
So in Bhakti Vihari temple, the Mandalati is at 8 o'clock. So that they say that because Krishna goes for Vasleela and he enjoys and comes back, and then they, because Lord is sleeping and coming back early in the morning, then he goes to sleep, so they don't wake him up at 11:30.
Yeah, Prabhupada said we should follow the Radharaman temple, not the Radhavan. Bhanka Bihari, they do some funny things.
Yeah, but they have some deal behind that.
Maybe. They dressed Krishna up in jeans and a leather jacket one time. Obviously it's not good. So, you know, Bhanka Bihari temple does something, you know, we don't take that as the highest standard. It's the most popular temple, but not necessarily the highest standard. Radharaman temple, Prabhupada said, that's where we should learn deity worship. So, the queens, they heard the roosters crowing in the morning, and they knew that meant that Krishna would now wake up, he would get up. So in their minds, they said, I hope those roosters die. These are pure devotees. Like that. But it's so intense, their love for Krishna. They said, I hope those roosters will die, because they're waking up Krishna. And when they wake him up, he will leave us. So, once again, these, not to be imitated. We can't say certain things, we can't do certain things, but it gives you an idea of the level of prema that these devotees have. And then, the auspicious time, the most auspicious time of the day is called the Brahma Muhurta. When is the Brahma Muhurta?
1.5 hours before.
Yeah, 1.5 hours before the sun rises. So when the sky starts to go light, when it begins to change colour, that's the beginning of the Brahma Muhurta. It takes 1 hour 36 minutes. 2 muhurtas. So that's the most auspicious time of the day. But when you're a very advanced devotee, the most auspicious time is when you are feeling inspired, or when you are performing a particular service for Krishna. That's the most auspicious time. Because the most auspicious injunction in all of the Vedas is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So if you're remembering Krishna even at a very inauspicious time, then it's auspicious, it's not inauspicious. So for the queens, the roosters are crying, Krishna's going to get up, the Brahma Muhurta is beginning, that's when the roosters begin, when the light changes, the roosters begin to call out. So, Krishna's getting up to teach the world, take advantage of the Brahma Muhurta. But, for the queens, Brahma, it's always Brahma Muhurta. They'll always serve Krishna auspiciously. So they'd rather keep Krishna with them, sleep in, and for them that is more auspicious. Because then they can serve Krishna directly. So it gives you an understanding of the level of prema that the queens have. Any points?
We see a lot of these examples in the scriptures where a lot of conflicts and misunderstandings, even when both are really exalted personalities. When Lakshman stopped Sita from crossing the line, then Sita also chastised him, saying, "Do you want to enjoy with me?" And then he had to tolerate that. So there are often examples like that where this happens. Brahma and the gopis we saw. Gopis are chastising Brahma, then gopis with Akrura, we saw that also. They both are pure devotees, but still there is a fight going on, misunderstanding between them.
Yeah, it does happen sometimes. It worries me. Prabhupada said that if there's a conflict like that, the devotee should not take sides. Because even Prabhupada and his god brothers, sometimes they would criticize each other. And Prabhupada, even though Prabhupada was everyone's guru, Prabhupada said, "Do not take sides. It is between me and them. You don't take sides."
If somebody is very advanced devotee, time does not matter for you. Time does not matter.
At the very best.
What time of the day they pray, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because they're pure devotees. You see, like Jayapataka Swami, so it doesn't matter what time he does anything. You know, whenever he wakes up, whenever it doesn't matter because he serves Krishna. So, you know, if he's asleep at that time, it doesn't matter. Because... Lord Madhava would rise during the Brahma Muhurta period and touch water. With a clear mind, he would then meditate upon himself, the single self-luminous, unequaled and infallible Supreme Truth, known as Brahman, who by his very nature ever dispels all contamination, and who through his personal energies, which cause the creation and destruction of this universe, manifests his own pure, blissful existence. So, whatever bundle comes.
Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura points out that the word bhava in this verse indicates the created beings. Thus the compound word Lakshida Bhava Vidhuttam means that Lord Krishna gives pleasure to the created beings through his various energies. Of course, our soul is never created, but our material conditioned existence is created by the interaction of the Lord's energies. One who is favored by the Lord's internal potency can understand the nature of the Absolute Truth. This understanding is called Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that his energies are divided into inferior and superior, or material and spiritual potencies. The Brahma Samhita further explains that the material potency acts like a shadow, following the movements of the spiritual reality, which is the Lord himself and his spiritual potency. When one is favored by Lord Krishna, he reveals himself to the surrendered soul. And thus the same creation that formerly covered the soul becomes an impetus for spiritual and enlightenment.
Any points?
The central point in this purport seems to be meditation. The importance of meditation, meditating on Lord Krishna. Because that meditation is what is going to purify the soul and reunite that body. So Vishwajanani Thakur writes that Lord Krishna could have meditated on anyone. He could have meditated on Shankarsana also, because Shankarsana is also on the Lord. But he is demonstrating by meditating on himself that he is Ete Chamsha Kalakumsha Krishna's to Bhagavan's mind. So he is the most complete and perfect form of the Absolute Truth. Therefore he is showing us by meditating on himself that I am the Absolute Truth.
Good. Any other points?
To add to that, and he's showing us that that's the correct thing to do in the morning.
Yeah.
So he's setting the example for us.
Good. So the first thing Krishna does in this verse, he touches water. Any of the five elements is are purifying. Earth is purifying. Pure earth is purifying. Now, if you pass water, sometimes there's no water around. If you get pure earth, you rub it, then you're considered also purified. Pure water is obviously purifying. It means pure water. Not if water has impurities in it, it's not considered pure. It looks all dirty and murky, and it's not considered pure. Then you have to take pure water. Then pure fire. Fire purifies things. Pure air or wind. It says your silk. Now I'm wearing silk. If I put on this silk, if I don't go to the toilet while wearing it, means passing water, passing stool, I can wear it for 2 weeks and it's not contaminated. Silk can last 2 weeks without being contaminated. And to purify it, you can just hang it in the wind and just let it flow in the wind, and then it's considered pure, and then you can put it back on again. But if you go to the toilet, then you have to take a bath. Then you have to wash it. Then it's considered like cotton. Cotton's only pure for 24 hours. Wool is always pure. It is pavitra. So therefore, you can wear wool. You don't have to worry about contaminating wool, because it doesn't. Even if you pass stool, you're wearing wool. It's not contaminated. If I pass stool, I'm wearing cotton or silk. It's considered contaminated. So Krishna, first thing he does, he touches water, and it means during archanam. So before we do any auspicious activity, we have to do archana. Okay. Chant the mantra into the water. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayana Namaha. Om Madhavaya Namaha. You look at the water, you chant the mantra into the water. That's what purifies it, makes it sacred. Then you sip it, you become purified. You see, even in the first canto, when Arjuna goes to fight with Ashwatthama, and then he threw the Brahmastra. And then it said, what did Arjuna do? Yeah, he did archana. Before he chanted the mantras to throw back the Brahmastra, then Om Keshavaya Namaha. That did archana, purified, and then chant the mantra. That's Brahminical culture. That's why before we do deity worship, you have to chant. You know, even some devotees, even before they chant japa, they'll do archana and like that. So, purifies. Yeah. So, first thing Krishna does, he teaches us, keep yourself pure. And then it says he clears his mind. You have to do this before you do your sadhana, before you chant your japa, or your gayatri, or any of these activities. You have to first make the mind peaceful. Yeah. You see some devotees, when they're chanting their rounds, their minds are not peaceful. First make your mind peaceful, then start chanting. So then, you know, you take your japa beads, close your eyes, you know, quieten yourself, right, and then begin to focus, right? And then you do swajaya, then you begin to do buddha shuddhi, purify the consciousness, then you begin to perform the activity. Just like before you do deity worship, we do buddha shuddhi, which means we chant different mantras to purify our subtle body before we do the deity worship. So Krishna is showing here, first he cleared the mind, then he began to meditate on himself. What does it mean he meditated on himself? Yeah, the Supreme Self. Actually, what it means he meditates on Vrindavan. That's what it means. If Krishna is in Dwaraka, remember last night? Hands up if you weren't here last night. Some of you weren't here. Try to listen to the, if you can, try to listen to the lecture, because we described Krishna's mood. We have to understand, when Krishna is in Dwaraka, when he goes into meditation, he's meditating on Vrindavan. So it means here, when it says he goes into meditation, means he's meditating on Srimati Radharani, right? And the other gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan. That's his meditation. When it says Krishna is meditating, he doesn't just meditate on himself. You know, like, he meditates on Vrindavan. Yeah, we don't meditate on ourselves. It says that here, like he meditates on himself, but it means himself in relationship to his devotees. He's never by himself. even when he's in yoga nidra, which means a mystic sleep, he's still uniting with the devotees. There's no such thing as Krishna by himself, because he's always meditating on the devotees. In the Archana Padati.
Archana Padati?
Archana Padati. So on Sunday we have the
Rathi
Yatra. So what is Rathi Yatra? Why do we do it? It means Krishna going back from Kurukshetra, going back from Dwarka, back to Vrindavan. That's what Rathi Yatra is. That's what Rathi Yatra is. That's the actual significance. Jagannath, Balada, Baladev, Subhadra, Krishna from Kurukshetra being taken back to Vrindavan by the residents of Vrindavan. Or from, he was living in Dwarka at that time. Mm-hmm. That's the whole meditation. Jagannath is Krishna in Dwarka meditate, or in Kurukshetra meditating on Vrindavan. That's who Jagannath is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you look at the altars, you go into our temple, right? On the left is Mayapur, is Gaur Nittai. On the right is Dwarka, Puri, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Krishna in Mayapur, in the form of Mahaprabhu, is meditating on Krishna in Vrindavan. Jagannath, who is Krishna in Dwarka, is meditating on Krishna in Vrindavan. Everything is pointing back to Vrindavan, to Radha Balaram. So that's the pastime of Rathi Yatra. So this is the meditation. When it says he meditates on himself, it means meditating on his pastimes in Vrindavan. If you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it describes about Krishna waking up in the morning in Dwarka. And when he wakes up in the morning, right? There's one morning where he doesn't get up and do all these duties. And all the devotees gather outside his room. Right? And they're all concerned. And they're having a conversation. They're saying, what is wrong? How come he hasn't got up this morning? Right? And Satyabhama says that, or actually Rukmini says, that when he's sleeping at night time, and he's lying next to me, he says, O Radhe, O Lalite, O Vishake. Even when he's sleeping. And then Satyabhama says, you don't even know what you're talking about. Even when he's awake, he's sitting with me, he's daydreaming. He starts saying, Hey Radhe, Hey Lalite, Hey Vishake. Even when he's awake. So he didn't get up one morning because he was feeling so much separation from Vrindavan that he couldn't even wake up. Usually he gets up and does his duties, but there are pastimes where he doesn't even wake up in the morning. Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives a very deep understanding of these things. So this is the meaning of Rathi Yatra, Krishna going back to Vrindavan. Any points?
When they established the Navavrindavan, after after Krishna wanted to be in Vrindavan, to please them, they established the Navavrindavan.
That most saintly of personalities would then bathe in sanctified water, dress himself in lower and upper garments, and perform the entire sequence of prescribed rituals, beginning with worship at dawn. After offering oblations into the sacred fire, Lord Krishna would silently chant the Gayatri Mantra. Janesh?
Here Swami points out that since Lord Krishna was in the disciplic succession from Kanmamuni, he offered oblations to the fire in pose and dress. Then he chanted the Gayatri Mantra.
So, any points?
God is trying to establish, one of his purposes is to establish Dharma. So he is
giving various types of dharma here. So here is talking about Kula Dharma. So he is maintaining the pedigree worship from in his own daily life. Respecting that, not discarding that. So he is doing this mud-like in the.
Any other points?
What is this disciplic succession from Kaimo Muni?
Doesn't go into details, but.
That was my question, what's Kaimo Muni?
There's no details given of who it is or what it is. Could be like his family lineage. Means like the Kula Gurus, or could be something like that.
Vishwamitra Thakur also points out that the Gayatri Mantra which he chanted is the Brahma Gayatri. If you go back to the Gayatri handbook, one of the meanings of Brahma Gayatri Mantra is that it points to Radha. So just substantiates. We mentioned earlier that he is mentioning the Brahma Gayatri.
So, in this verse it mentions that one must perform these activities on this sandhya. A sandhya means the meeting place. A sandhya. Sandhya means when day and night meet. So, we're getting close to the sandhya now. We had this sandhya arti just before. No? So, it means that time. So, these times are considered to be a little inauspicious. Right in the middle of the day, right in the middle of the night, when the sun and that's why people do the artis at that time. No? When the sanja, like in India, when the sun is setting like that, it's considered a little inauspicious. Says in the Bhagavatam, the Bhutas all begin to fly around. So they do the artis to make it all auspicious at that time. So Krishna, he was teaching us. We should, on the sanjas, we should do our spiritual activities. So we chant the Gayatri Mantra. In our tradition in ISKCON, we chant seven mantras. There are more mantras, but we chant seven. Prabhupada gave us seven. First one to the sun god, two to the guru, two to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and two to Radha and Krishna. Now these are our Gayatri, our meditation. And then there is japa. No? Japa should be chanted. Japa means, literally, it's a meditation. Sometimes I see devotees chanting, they're not meditating. You know, walking around or doing all these things or chanting in a public place. You know, sometimes I see devotees sitting in the courtyard chanting. They're not listening to the mantra. You know, very distracted, just watching everything that's going on. And that's not meditation. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's a meditation, japa. Like that. It's supposed to be in a quiet, secluded place. Or in a holy place, like in the temple room or something like that. You know, it's a meditation. Like that. You're meant to meditate. That's what it's there for. So, when we... in the morning, Krishna would also meditate. And it says that when he was living in Vrindavan, sometimes he would be chanting japa. He'd have a mala. What was he chanting? Yeah, he would chant rati, 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 rati. Like that, meditating like that. Shrimati Radharani. That's his meditation. He chants, his japa is meditating on. When we chant Hare Krishna, we meditate on both of them. Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. But if you want to get to that level of realizing that, you have to chant very deeply. It has to become very deep meditation to understand that Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. Most of the time, you know, what do you think of when you're chanting a japa? So many things. Not Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Your mind's on everything else but Hare and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So. Each day the Lord worshipped the rising sun and propitiated the demigods, sages and forefathers, who are all his expansions. The self-possessed Lord would then carefully worship his elders and the Brahmanas. To those well-attired Brahmanas he would offer herds of tame and peaceful cows with gold-plated horns and pearl necklaces. These cows were also dressed in fine cloth, and the fronts of their hooves were plated with silver. Providers of abundant milk, they had each given birth only once and were accompanied by their calves. Daily the Lord gave many groups of 13,084 cows to the learned Brahmanas, together with linen, deer skins and sesame seeds.
Sridhar Swami quotes several Vedic scriptures to show that in the context of Vedic ritual, Badhva here refers to 13,084 cows. The words Badhvam Badhvam Dine Dine indicates that Lord Krishna would give the learned Brahmanas many such groups of cows on a daily basis. Sridhar Swami further gives evidence that the usual practice for great saintly kings in previous ages was to give 107 such Badhva, or groups of 13,084 cows. Thus, the total number of cows given in this sacrifice, known as Manchara, is 14 lakhs, or 1,400,000. The words Alakatevyo Viprevya indicates that in Lord Krishna's kingdom, the Brahmanas were given nice clothes and ornaments and were thus well attired. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes with striking and profound insight on these pastimes of Lord Krishna. The reader is strongly urged to study this book, which contains an invaluable wealth of information and commentary on the pastimes described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our humble attempt here can never equal the consummate purity and skill of our great master. Still, as a service offered at his lotus feet, we are simply presenting the original Sanskrit text of the 10th canto, word for word meanings. A clear translation and essential commentary for the most part based on the statements of the great spiritual masters in our land.
What are the points?
Vishwanachara Thakur writes that the word Dine Dine here talks about that whatever Lord Krishna did was consistent. Every day he used to do that, he gave specific points.
Good. Anything else?
For the rest of us, charity is the most important means for purification.
Yeah, one of the most important. Yeah, necessary. For the brahmacharis, what is the?
Study
of shastra. Vidya. And then? Grihastha is?
Charity.
Dana.
Charity.
And then vanaprastha is?
Austerity.
Tapa. And then sannyas?
Preaching.
Yeah, satya. Satya means, yeah, preaching the truth. These are the religious principles. That's how each ashram becomes purified. If you're a brahmachari or brahmacharini, you don't study, you don't get purified. Right? If you're a grihastha, you don't give charity, you don't get purified. If you're vanaprastha, you don't perform austerity, you do not get purified. And if you're a sannyas, you don't preach the absolute truth, you do not get purified. That's the system. So Krishna shows us, because he's grihastha. Krishna's pastime is grihastha. And interesting, if you go through the varnas, the sudras, they only have one varna. What is that? Sorry, they only have one ashram. What is that? Grihastha. Yeah. Sudras are grihasthas, right? They never go to Gurukul, anything. Just grihasthas. Sudra means like, say like a blacksmith or a goldsmith. That's a sudra. So they grow up, they learn what their family business is, and they do the business. That's it. Sudra. Vaishya. Vaishya has two ashrams. What are the two ashrams? No, brahmachari and grihastha. Right? They go to Gurukul, right? But then they become grihastha, and that's it. Vaishyas don't, they don't take vanapas. And then the kshatriyas, they have three. They go to Gurukul, they're brahmacharis, they get married, and then they may become vanaprastha, like Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. And then the brahmanas, they have four. Brahmacharis, grihastha, vanaprastha. Then only brahmanas take sannyas. Right? And Prabhupada says that the brahmanas, they can go straight from brahmachari to sannyas. They don't have to do the other two. You see, like Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, right? Brahmachari, sannyas, that's it. Cut out the other two ashrams. Not necessary. Right? He's a brahmana. A brahmana by birth. Most of us are brahmana by, even when we try, we don't become brahmanas. By purification, but very difficult. Some are born automatically in the mode of goodness. So then they automatically go with that. So Krishna is showing us dana. So this chapter is really, one of the main things in this chapter is Vedic cultural points. We're learning about Vedic culture. How someone in the Vedic culture would live in a civilized society. Gets up in the morning, these are the things that you will do. And if you look at our life, what we've been taught in ISKCON, this is what we do. What's it based upon? It's based upon what Krishna did. It's based upon what's in the Vedas. Prabhupada took the essence and he gave that to us. He said, you do this, you do Mangalati, da, 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 and he said all the things. Gayatri, take bath, all these things Prabhupada taught. Rules and regulations. And then what did Prabhupada say? If I told you all the rules and regulations, you would faint. Prabhupada said that. If I told them all to you, you would faint. So he only took like the essential ones. And even that we struggle with. Prabhupada said there are rules. Prabhupada said they are small rules. And if you don't follow them, where is the proof that you love Krishna? Prabhupada said that. Where's the proof that you love Krishna if you don't follow the rules that he gave you? If you don't do all these duties, that's what this chapter is about, all the different duties you have to do. Because if you don't do them, you won't become purified. Hands up in this room if you were a brahmachari or brahmacharini in this lifetime. Right? Only me. I was the only one who's a brahmachari. Right? So that means that most of us did not have that opportunity. Right. And it's a big, how would you say it? Like it's a, it's undesirable that we came straight in grihastha ashram. Brahmachari or brahmacharini is definitely preferred. Now, I can say it for myself because I was brahmachari for 8 years, so that was very beneficial to have that training and that distracted time in life that you can just fully focus on service to Krishna. Very beneficial. Right? So that means if you're coming straight in as a grihastha, you have to follow this system of vaiti sadhana bhakti very carefully to get purified and to catch up for that lost time. Because bad habits were formed previously. When we should have been going through brahmachari ashram or brahmacharini ashram, we weren't, we're forming bad habits. Now we have to work twice as hard to purify ourselves. And that's why you see devotees struggle. And some devotees, they fall back to the old habits. Because it's the samskaras are there. So you have to purify yourself. Purify yourself by devotional service to Krishna. If you have spare time, come to the temple and ask for service. Don't sit around, do nothing with your life. Hare Krishna. Any points? Lord Krishna would offer obeisances to the cows, Brahmanas and demigods, his elders and spiritual masters, and all the living beings, all of whom are expansions of his supreme personality. Then he would touch auspicious things. So he would offer obeisances. Offering obeisances is very purifying. Each year we usually take a group of devotees to the holy Dham, Mayapur Guru Vrindavan. And one of the things I tell the devotees when we first get there is offer obeisances as much as you can. It's very, very purifying to offer obeisances to the devotees, to the Ganga, to the deities, to Tulsi. Very purifying, as much as you can, offer obeisances to the Guru. Even His Holiness Radha Swami, when he's in Varshana, Radharani's place. He even sometimes offers his obeisance to the dogs who live in Varshana, because he sees them all as being residents of the holy Dham. So it's very purifying to offer your obeisances. So Krishna is showing he offered his obeisances to many personalities. This is Krishna himself. And then it said he would touch auspicious things. So what are auspicious things that we can touch? Tulsi. Right? In the commentary, it said he touched brown cows. Cows are extremely purifying, to touch the cows. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, in the first 20 items, one of the first of the 20 items says that we should offer or we should worship sacred trees. You remember that item of bhakti? And Jiva Goswami, he analyzed it and he says it also means the cows. And then he says there's four ways to serve the cows. He said you scratch them under the neck, right? Then feed them soft green grass. Then circumambulate them and take the dust from their hooves. You have to know the cow. If you're going to take the dust from the hoof, you have to know the cow. You can do that. If you come to our farm, you could do that, but not to every cow. Mm. Yeah. Some cows might kill you. Because they kick like that. My wife got kicked by Lali, I think, one of the cows. And if she had her head down, then she got kicked in the leg, had a big bruise. But if she had the head down, that's very dangerous. So you have to know which cow. So only take the dust from the hoof if you know the particular cow. Otherwise, just when they step, take the dust from where they've stepped. Don't actually take it from the hoof itself. So it says that Krishna, he would touch the cows. Because he lived in Vrindavan all those years, he loves the cows. So in Dwarka, he would touch the cows every morning, remembering Vrindavan. Everything Krishna does is to remember Vrindavan. If you understand this point, you'll understand the Bhagavatam. Right? Everything Krishna does is to remember Vrindavan. Then you'll understand the Bhagavatam. If you don't understand that, then you don't understand the Bhagavatam. Any points? Okay. He would decorate his body, the very ornament of human society, with his own special clothes and jewelry, and with the divine flower garlands and ointments. So he dressed up very auspiciously. Right, just like on Sunday's Ratha Yatra, what are you going to wear to Ratha Yatra? Right, the Matajis, you've already thought about your saris, right? You know which one you're going to wear for Ratha Yatra? You know which sari you're going to wear? Yeah, you've already thought about it, right? No, you haven't. Okay. Some haven't, some have. But it's auspicious. No one goes to Ratha Yatra, you don't just dress up in ordinary clothes. You dress up very nicely. Even the men, you wear nice kurtas, nice dhotis, like that. You dress up nice, it's considered auspicious. When there's a festival, it's considered auspicious to dress nicely. Nice clothes, nice jewelry, all these things, it's considered. Because it's for the pleasure of the Lord. Jagannath's going to be there. So you want to dress very nicely, attractively, for Jagannath's pleasure. That's the entire point. Srimati Radharani would do that. She'd dress very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. Even in the morning when they're dressing Radharani, all the maidservants are dressing Radharani, and they bring a big mirror. when Radharani looks at herself, she thinks, I've never seen anyone as beautiful as this. She doesn't say that egotistically, but she just says, I've never seen anyone as beautiful. So I must be dressed very beautifully for the pleasure of Krishna. That's what he's saying. So Krishna is dressing very nicely because he wants everything to be auspicious, festive, and for the pleasure of the devotees. So he dresses very nicely. He would then look at Ghee, a mirror, the cows and bulls, the brahmanas and the demigods, and see to it that the members of all the social classes living in the palace and throughout the city were satisfied with gifts. After this, he would greet his ministers, gratify them by fulfilling all their desires. This is Kshatriya Dharma. Kshatriya Dharma means you have to make sure everyone is satisfied in the kingdom. That's how a Kshatriya thinks. It means a leader. Everyone has to be satisfied. So you're a Bhakti Vriksha leader. You have to make sure everyone in your group is satisfied. Did you get enough prasadam? How are the wife and kids? Is everything okay? How's the business going? We have to make sure everyone's okay. That's Kshatriya Dharma. If you're a leader, that's what you have to do. So Krishna made sure everyone was satisfied in the material world. Make sure everyone is satisfied in the world where you cannot be satisfied. Hare Krishna. Make sure everyone in the world is happy in a world where there is no happiness. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the material world. Yeah. After first distributing flower garlands and pan and sandalwood paste to the brahmanas, he would give these gifts to his friends, ministers and wives, and finally he would partake of them himself. So this is how we welcome an auspicious person. We give garlands, right? We give sandalwood pulp, pan. We don't take pan, but it means spices that refresh the mouth like that. So these different things, they're considered auspicious. When someone comes, you offer these gifts, considered very auspicious. And then Krishna, after everyone else was satisfied, then he would take the remnants. That's called prasad. That's what we do. We offer and then we take prasad. Right? When everyone else is satisfied, then you take prasad. Like in the Govardhan Leela. If you read the Ananda Brindavan Champu, it describes that Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and all the men in Nanda Maharaj's group, they served everyone. So many people were there, Govardhan Puja, served everyone. And at the end, when everyone was satisfied, then they sat down and they took prasad. That's the system. So Krishna is doing that. Everyone else is satisfied, then I will take. Krishna is teaching us like that. He feels like that genuinely. You know, we have to train ourselves to do that. But Krishna just does it automatically. So. By then, the Lord's driver would have brought his supremely wonderful chariot, yoked with Sugriva and the other horses. His charioteer would bow down to the Lord and then stand before him. Holding on to his charioteer's hand, Lord Krishna would mount the chariot together with Satyaki and Uddhava, just like the sun rising over the easternmost mountain. What's the name of his driver?
Daruka.
Daruka, yeah. So when he got on the chariot, how did he mount the chariot? Daruka was standing there with folded hands. Krishna would grab his hands. Right? And then with one hand, he'd hold his hands and he'd get on. It's called personalism. Personalism. Right? This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat. Bhagavat means a person. A Bhagavat is a person. Srimad Bhagavatam. Shankaracharya never commented on the Bhagavatam. Why? You can't say it's impersonal. You can't comment on that verse impersonally. How do you comment on it? Without totally speculating. Krishna took his hand and it wasn't really his hand, it was just, Doesn't make sense. No, he took his hand with tears in the eyes. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, that the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that sometimes Dvaraka is fanning Krishna and so many tears are in his eyes he can't see Krishna because his eyes become clouded. And then he says, damn these tears of ecstasy, I can't even see Krishna anymore. You know? So that is the exchange between Krishna and his devotees. That's the essence of the Bhagavata. The Krishna exchanges, loving exchanges with his devotees.
What philosophy did he preach?
Mayavad philosophy. Yeah, he's the head of the Mayavadis. The palace women would look upon Lord Krishna with shy, loving glances, and thus he would get free from them only with difficulty. He would then set off, his smiling face captivating their minds. So they have rati. What does rati mean?
Attachment.
Attachment, yeah, they're attached to Krishna. You know you're becoming advanced when you become attached to Krishna. Hands up if you're attached to Krishna. Three devotees. Nice. Thank you for you three, thank you for coming. The rest of you, get serious. Everyone should put their hand up. You're not attached to Krishna? Then what are you doing? You have to go attached to him. Right? Deepen your attachment. Okay, there's different levels of attachment, but even on our level, we should be attached. The Lord, attended by all the Vrishnis, would enter the Sudama assembly hall, which protects those who enter it from the six waves of material life. Dear King.
Yeah.
We read that. So 17. The Sudama Assembly House. Anyone who's inside the Sudama Assembly House, they do not experience hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. That's just like this theater. When you step inside this theater, you don't, and we're studying the Bhakti Vedanta class, we don't experience these six things. When you're outside, that's your. So this is the Sudama assembly house. So that was offered to Krishna by the Yadus. They went to Swaga, they attacked Indra and the demigods. They didn't actually attack them, they just said, we're taking the assembly house. They said, you cannot. So there was a fight. The Yadus defeated the demigods and they took it and they offered to Krishna. So what's the basic principle?
The best thing should be offered to Krishna.
Yeah, everything which is the best should be offered to Krishna. Only offer Krishna the best things. Whatever the best is in your possession, offer that to Krishna. That is bhakti. As the Almighty Supreme Lord would seat himself upon his exalted throne there in the assembly hall, he shone with his unique effulgence, illuminating all the quarters of space. Surrounded by the Yadus, lions among men, that best of the Yadus appeared like the moon amidst many stars. And there, O King, jesters would entertain the Lord by displaying various comic moods, expert entertainers would perform to him, and the female dancers would dance energetically. So Prabhupada said, offer your talents to Krishna. If you're a good dancer, dance for Krishna. If you're a good singer, sing for Krishna. If you're a good cook, cook for Krishna. Right? If you're good at making garlands, make garlands for Krishna. Whatever you're good at, everyone is good at something. So whatever you're good at, you do that for Krishna. Everyone is good at something. And how did Krishna start the day?
nothing more than.
Yeah, but now we've gone a little bit further now. Krishna's gone to work. Right? Sudama Assembly House means he's left home, now he's in the office. Right? What's the first thing he does in the office? Right? They have entertainment. Lighten everyone's mood. Don't get straight into the business. Okay? Everyone relax for an hour or two. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But isn't this Krishna's instructing us, this is the way it should be. You go to your office, what's the first thing they say to you?
Agile stand-up meetings.
What's that?
Agile stand-up meetings, they call us. First thing when they go to your office. They have stand-up meetings.
Stand-up meetings.
You can't even sit down.
Or why? Or they say, why are you late?
Why are you late? Or whatever. Okay. But, I mean, what's the first thing you do when you go to work? Krishna's showing us, this should be the first thing. Sit around. Just joke for a while. Right? Bring someone in, someone can make some jokes. Bit of entertainment, bring in some dancers, bring in some singers, some actors, to have a drama, right? And then everyone can say, okay, so now what do we have to do today? And how would it be, how would work, would you, enjoy, hands up if you'd like going to work?
Yes.
Right? Hands up if you like going to work now. No, no one likes it. Oh, maybe you do. Right? But, you know, generally, a lot of people we don't like, don't enjoy work. Why? Because it's not like this. Krishna's showing us. Right? Just like we said in Sweden. In Sweden now the working day is 9 till 3 and the country is 80% more productive and everyone's a lot happier. And in Australia it's like 8 till 6. Right? And how can you be happy? Where's the happiness? Right? So Krishna is teaching us the balance in life. It sounds simple, but actually Krishna is showing. If we organize like that, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems in the world. Thus performers would dance and sing to the sounds of mridangas, veenas, murajas, flutes, cymbals and conch shells, while professional poets, chroniclers and panegyrists would recite the Lord's glories. Some brahmanas sitting in that assembly hall would fluently chant Vedic mantras, while others recounted stories of past kings of pious renown. So they purify the atmosphere. Just like whenever we do something in ISKCON, what do we do first? Kirtan. Yeah, first we do kirtan. Like before we start class, we do kirtan. Why? To purify the atmosphere. Right? So Krishna is teaching us, first purify the atmosphere. Then?
Then what?
Even sometimes in ISKCON, when like the GBC, they always do that before they have the meetings in the morning, kirtan. Right? And sometimes I've heard in ISKCON, like more senior members, when they're coming together and they know there's going to be like an intense kind of a meeting or a intense discussion, you know, because they're advanced devotees, someone says, okay, let us do kirtan first. You know, everyone purify and then we'll speak. Otherwise, may become aggressive or something like that. So first purify. Okay. Next Monday, we will finish the chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.